morning.
Welcome to our morning service. It gives me great pleasure to also welcome the Reverend Drew Barry, who will lead us in our worship as well as the Sacrament of Communion today. Drew is currently our presbytery moderator, but has been a parish minister for over 40 years in various charges, the Isle of Arran, Denny, Rothsay and Tullibody. Drew became a Christian at secondary school, feeling the call to ministry in his teenage years. He also studied civil engineering, and he may be interested in our plans, which are over this side, to adapt our church building to make it future-proof. We are all looking forward to our service today. I would now like to pass you over to the Reverend Drew Barry. Thank you.
Thank you very much for these warm words of welcome. I didn't realise that you were all going to be told that I get degrees in civil engineering and things like that, which is possibly quite irrelevant to what I now do. Anyway, I'm very pleased indeed to be here conducting worship. And we come before God. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me. And eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. We sing our first hymn, which is God We Praise You, number 120 in the church hymnary.
Thank you.
And now we're going to have our readings from the Bible. And
come on then. This morning's readings, first one is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. Can be found on page 689 of the Pew Bible. It's entitled, God Prepares a Banquet. Here on Mount Zion, the Lord Almighty will prepare a banquet for all of the nations of the world, a banquet of the richest food and the finest wine. Here he will suddenly remove the cloud of sorrow that has been hanging over all the nations. The Sovereign Lord will destroy death forever. He will wipe away the tears from everyone's eyes and take away the disgrace his people have suffered throughout the world. The Lord himself has spoken. When it happens, everyone will say, He is our God. We have put our trust in him, and he has rescued us. He is the Lord. We have put our trust in him, and now we are happy and joyful because he has saved us. Second reading comes from Revelation chapter 19, verses 4 to 9. That's found on page 327. It's entitled The Wedding Feast of the Lamb. The 24 elders and four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, and they said, Amen, praise God. Then there came from the throne the sound of a voice saying, Praise our God, all his servants and all people, both great and small, who have reverence for him. Then I heard what sounded like a crowd, like the sound of a roaring waterfall, like loud peals of thunder. I heard them say, Praise God, for the Lord, our Almighty God, is King. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us praise his greatness. For the time has come for the wedding of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself for it. She has been given clean, shining linen to wear. The linen is the good deeds of God's people. Then the angel said to me, Write this, happy are those who have been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And the angel added, These are the true words of God.
The Bible contains a number of pictures of heaven, and down through history, God used various different images to fill his people with hope. These people were promised God's blessing. In the Old Testament, where many people lived in open countryside, they were in constant danger of wild animals. Isaiah chapter 11 describes heaven in this way. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. Heaven meant that all nature would be reconciled, that there would be no more threat of violence and danger. Centuries later, when the book of Revelation was written, which would be around 69 or 70 AD, society had moved on, and the image used was of a great city, one of the best known pictures, perhaps, a city with streets of gold and great gates made of pearl. Interestingly, in the New Testament, the pearly gates are open, not shut, always open. City gates were there to protect people from the dangers that lay outside of the city. But of course, in heaven, in the kingdom of God, evil had been conquered. But today's picture is of a great banquet, of a feast that people would have. It was a banquet at which they were the guests of the great king. And this was written in a time when not everyone had enough food, when if the harvest failed, people knew that that meant that they would starve in the coming winter. And it was with this picture that God tried to inspire his people to know how great their future was. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Maybe you've been to a family meal, perhaps a wedding, or maybe a notable birthday, or maybe a Christmas meal. And you look back on that with joy and gladness. It was a good time. It was nice to be together and to see everybody happy. Today's picture is a picture of heaven as a party. Now, that doesn't sound very Presbyterian, I know. Maybe you shouldn't tell the presbytery that I was wanting you to have a party. It does, however, help our understanding of communion. John refers to it as the wedding supper of the Lamb. And of course, by the Lamb, he means Jesus. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he pointed him out and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And at that time and in that culture, lambs were offered daily as a sacrifice at the temple. Exodus tells the people, "This is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day. Two lambs a year old, one in the morning and the other at twilight." And so down through history, from that point in the Old Testament right up to 70 AD, when the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed, this daily sacrifice was made. And the book of Revelation, which was written before 70 AD, tells us that Jesus was this Lamb of God. The destruction of the temple isn't actually recorded in the New Testament, because all of the New Testament was written prior to 70 AD. So Jesus died about 33, so within 35 years or so they had the New Testament written as we now have it. We come to communion today, and as we do, God holds out to us this promise of forgiveness, this act of eating with him. We come to be guests at the Lord's table. It is not your table or my table or the church's table in a sense, but the Lord's table that we meet around. And whatever you have done, whatever you have failed to do or be, God reaches out to you in love today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In John's vision, the church, the people of God, whom he calls the bride of Christ, are given new clothes. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And this is symbolic of the fact that we come to God as we are, but he changes and transforms us. It's as if you came in the clothes that you've been out working in, and you took them off and you put on some nice clean thing to go to the special feast, which was this celebration. But it's not that the people have to provide their own clothes. That's not what the Bible says. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. That is to say that God clothes us with this new life that we have in Christ. Today, we will take this bread and this wine, and joyfully know that we have come into God's presence, and that God has enabled us to do that, that he has provided us with the forgiveness of our sins, the taking off of the old and contaminated and spoiled, and the putting on of the clean and pure and new. We come as his guests to this joyful occasion. Now, I know that some of the pictures in the book of Revelation can be a little bit difficult, to say the least of them. Today's reading started off with 24 elders and four living creatures. The 24 elders symbolize the people of God down through all of history. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of the New Testament. And those of you who were paying attention during Psalms will know that that makes 24. That's what the 24 symbolizes. And the four living creatures symbolize the mysterious and vast hosts of heaven, the angels and archangels, the cherubim and seraphim, and all these things. And what that is saying to us is that we come to worship Christ, but we are a very, very small part of the Christian church. There are thousands of people who will worship Christ today. And the church exists not only in our age, but down through the ages. There are those who have gone ahead of us into glory. And then there are the mysterious angels and heavenly beings that we read about in the book of Revelation and elsewhere. John's vision is of that great day when, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But until that day comes, as we gather here for this sacrament, for this heavenly meal, we do so along with angels and archangels and all the hosts of heaven. We do so along with our sister and brother Christians throughout all of the world and all of time. Today, the bread and the wine are a foretaste of that great banquet that we read of in heaven, a time of joy, a time of gladness. Here is a picture of the individual believer and of the whole church, cleansed and renewed by the blood of Christ. Maybe some of you know that old Moody and Sankey hymn. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I suppose for many of us, we come to church, we come to communion, we go about our daily lives feeling that we haven't quite made it somehow, that we've let God down, that we've let other people down, that we've had these evil thoughts in our minds that others don't know about, but that cause us embarrassment and shame. And what this part of the Bible says to us, as do other parts, is that Christ has come to cleanse us. And that as we come here, we come who have left our sin behind. For in this moment, we come into the presence of Christ, who has died for our sins, who is with us as we gather in his name. It assures us that if we have simply asked for that forgiveness, we have received it because of Christ. The resounding cry of the 24 elders and the four living creatures is to offer God worship and praise, because this is not something that we have achieved and done, but that has been done for us. You and I come to meet around this, the Lord's table. We are his guests. We are welcomed. We are loved. Yes, Jesus loves me. We are forgiven. We are renewed. This clean robe is put upon us by Christ. Christ invites us and indeed commands us to come. So with joy and gladness, let us come to his table. Hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. These are the true words of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your invitation, for the assurance that as we come, we are welcomed. Thank you for the cleansing and renewing power of Christ. We pray that we may experience it afresh in our lives. Thank you that as we take this bread and wine and remember the power of Christ's sacrifice, that we may be made one with you, our God, with all who believe. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We now sing The King of Love, which is number 462 in the hymn book.
Oh.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this day and forevermore.